Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I have the privilege to read God's Word with each and every one of you and unpack it and find application in ways that we can understand, have awe and reverence for, and ultimately serve Him better. What a great opportunity this is for us to dig into His Word together. Thank you for joining me, and I pray God is glorified through all that we do and say, and the follow-up and commitment to continue to grow in our lives as a result. So, grab your Bible if you can, and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. All right. Today we are continuing our journey into Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are. And this is a bit of a continuation of what we read in the previous episode in Hebrews 11, naturally. You see, Hebrews 11 was this Hall of Faith chapter, is what it's like. A lot of people like to call it. So many great biblical heroes of the faith were referenced, and the author's point was to encourage us. Look how they had such great faith, and as a result, they received this divine approval. They trusted in their faith in God. They trusted in God, and God gave them the strength to overcome any obstacles, trials, difficulties. So many great names that were there, and now the author begins the 12th chapter that we're going to read today is being surrounded by this crowd of witnesses. Those witnesses he's referencing are those that have gone before us and that have paved the way to show us what great faith could look like and how God gets the glory because of it, that we can do it, trusting in God's great power and His sustenance. And so, that's where we are today, reading His Word from Hebrews chapter 12. And as we dig into this, you're going to notice the author use the imagery, the analogy of running a race, running this long race, and it aligns it to the Christian journey, where believers are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, who is the pioneer, who is the perfecter of faith. There's a great model that we have. And as we read through chapter 12, we're going to identify now some look-fors as we read this chapter. This perseverance is what this chapter can be chalked up for. The first thing that we need to look for today in our reading is this discipline of God. Just like the fatherly discipline of a child, God's discipline is His expression of His love for us. He gives us discipline. He corrects us. And notice how the author does align it to the earthly father's discipline, and how discipline is intended for us to grow spiritually, to mature. If we don't have someone to guide us and correct us through discipline, how can we mature? The second look for is the call to endurance. We're called to endure in this long race. When hardship comes, when those tough parts of that race come in our life, those uphill climbs, those moments where we feel like we can't continue to move forward, we should see that as discipline from the Father. This analogy of endurance is running a race, aligning to our Christian faith. That endurance will bring us strength, and spiritual perseverance. It's intended for us to grow, and that's what our desire should be, is to grow closer to the Father with our spiritual maturity. And finally, the chapter ends with reverence and awe that we should have for God. Notice at the end that God is described as a consuming fire. And the author emphasizes his holiness, his power. And far too often we don't. It's important for us to remember this reverence and awe that we should have for the Father. It's an opportunity for us to recognize his majesty, his sovereignty, his goodness. And it gives us an opportunity to understand how God's holiness should impact our worship, should impact our daily lives, and should cause for us to live in a manner that honors him with that reverence and awe, because he is a consuming fire for all that do not. And so it ends with the warning. Pretty powerful chapter here. And so let's read it together. Let's see all these things come to life, and then let's try to unpack what God has for us today. And so here we are, Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 29. Verse 1. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. And then here the author reads Proverbs 3. And he says this: My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. And then in verse 7 he goes on. He says, Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them. But he does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. The author goes on in verse 14, now warning against rejecting God's grace. He says this, verse 14, Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears, because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. For if you not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, the darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. And he referenced Exodus 19, speaking of Mount Sinai. And in verse 21, he says, the appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. From Deuteronomy 19. And then in verse 22, the author goes on and he says, instead, you have come to Mount Zion, which, and I'll pause there, is a reference to heaven. It's imagery for heaven, Mount Zion. Instead, let's come back to it. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which says better things than the blood of Abel. In verse 25, he carries on, but what we just read was a comparison of Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, Old Covenant times, where people were scared, and even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned, trembled with fear, and a comparison to Mount Zion, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, verse 25, see to it now, see to it that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised. And the author here references Haggai. He says, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. By it, may we serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that is the reading of Hebrews 12. Let's take a moment to process all that and unpack what he has for us in all this great reading today. Okay, so as we just read chapter 12, the first thing that the beginning of the chapter really hits on is discipline. Embracing God's discipline. It's hard when difficulties come. Too much of our world thinks that as Christians, when we become believers, that everything just is rainbows and butterflies, and we know that that is just not the case. Instead, there are difficulties and trials and discipline that God has planned for us to draw us closer to Him. And so what we should strive to do is to embrace God's discipline. That whenever we are disciplined, it is out of His deep love for us, out of His concern for our well-being, our spiritual maturity. When we face these trials, and maybe you're in the middle of one right now, look at these difficulties as opportunities. We know that God can turn obstacles into opportunities. These are opportunities for us to grow. And so instead of resenting these circumstances you're under, maybe your family is broken, maybe your relationships are broken, maybe you have an unstable job and you're out of a job, or maybe you're facing this diagnosis, you have these impairments, these ailments, these anxieties, these worries, and the list may go on. Whatever it is that you feel is that difficulty and trial you're going through in your life, instead of resenting them. Ask God to help us, to help you learn from them and grow closer to Him throughout this entire process. Count it pure joy, as we read in James, when these difficulties come, because they're for the purpose of spiritual maturity. Try to have that perspective. The second takeaway is that we've got to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, in this race of life, it's so easy to become distracted. Distracted by those hurdles, those challenges that come our way. However, we read today that we should fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, He's the ultimate example of faith. Those great biblical figures that we read in the previous chapter, those were great. But Jesus and His amazing faith, He is the author, the perfecter of faith and endurance. And so if we can keep our focus on Him, we can get through these challenges. And not just get through them, but do so with such confidence and endurance that you know it had to be from God. And so the only way we can do that is if we can prioritize spending time in prayer, studying God's Word, working on that deeper relationship with Jesus, and ultimately ensure that He remains the center of our lives. Put Him at the middle. And everything revolving around that will all work for His good and to give Him glory. And finally, our last takeaway is that we should pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. So Hebrews emphasizes this pursuit of holiness and even gets to the point of, as we pursue holiness, we should do it with such reverence and awe that we cultivate this habit of coming to God with reverence and awe and acknowledge His greatness and allow it to inspire us to have humility and gratitude in our hearts. As we work towards this, being set apart, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. While we have great fear and reverence of God, we can be changed if we allow it to do just that. It will enable us to live lives that honor God. The Holy Spirit will. And so look at areas of our lives that we are compromising, because our entire lives should be given as living sacrifices to the glory of the Father. And if we haven't done that, we are not set apart being holy. We are not living a life of reverence and awe. Our God is a consuming fire. He deserves every bit of our energy. He's a jealous God. We are created for the express purpose of worshiping Him and Him alone. We have to prioritize. We all do. And what a great opportunity it is for us to open our eyes to just how good our God is, how much we should truly fear and be in awe of Him. Our world has lost this fear of God, and we have that in our hearts. It'll be out of reverence and awe, respect of a child like to a parent, seeking to honor, please, and bring them joy. As believers, that's what we strive for. Okay, I feel like I'm preaching at you a lot here. I don't want to do that too much. I want the God's Word to speak to us, and there's a lot of great things there in Hebrews 12. Thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward already to Hebrews 13 as we wrap it up and we begin our next path in our journey. Oh, so may you be blessed, may your family be blessed, and may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you today. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in. Let's read the word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of his word together.